just said to the actress, I said, so what are you so afraid of? And she said, I am afraid I'm going to make a mistake. I said, the mistake is being afraid of the mistake. I don't know if she got the message or not. I really don't.
Welcome to Casting Actors Cast. Insights for actors on acting in the business of show. Casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach takes you behind the scenes and reveals secrets to a successful acting career. You can find out more on the web at castingactorscast.com. Please enjoy, like, and share Casting Actors Cast. Now, here's your host, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of Casting Actors Cast, the podcast for actors from a casting director. Hello, my name is Jeffrey Dreisbach. How are you? I'm a casting director with McCorkle Casting in New York, and it's so cool that you're here and joining us today. If you're just joining us, welcome aboard. It's been so much fun. These podcasts are brought to you absolutely free of charge, and I really love doing them. So if you love hearing them, if there's been some information that you found very helpful to you, then I'm going to ask you a favor, and that is please let your friends know about this. I'm trying to get as many listeners as I can just because I think the more the merrier. And if you go to castingactorscast.com, you can get a bunch of past episodes going all the way back to episode number one. And also, if you fill out the form, there's a comment form area there. You can fill out that form and it'll take you to another location where you can download the absolutely free PDF 100-page workshop manual called Conversation Pieces Out of the Studio, the Workshop for Professional Actors. It's a book that I wrote about, a few years back, not too far long ago, but a few years ago, that I know actors have found extremely useful, and it's very thrilling that this book has been used in a lot of college and university settings. And if you have any interest at all in finding out what does it take to be a voice actor, then this is the book for you, especially if you have some performance training in your background. This really answers a lot of those questions about how do I get into voiceovers? And that's absolutely free by going to castingactorscast.com. Also, while we're talking about that, right next to that comment form is a place where you can leave me a voice message. And I have to apologize because I just realized that many people have been leaving voice messages and I rarely, if ever, check my spam folder. I know, I'm a dummy. It's like so stupid. And so many people have left voice messages and I do my very, very best to get back to folks who leave me a voice message, and I have not done that because I simply didn't know that you'd left me a voice message. So for those of you, there are many, many people who left me voice messages. I'm terribly sorry. I'm going to try to write back to you and let you know. And I apologize for that. I fixed the issue, but you can leave me a live voice message. I'd love to get to the point where I could literally take your question on the air. If you leave me a voice message, then I can put it on the air and then answer the question. I think that might be a lot of fun. All right, that's a long-winded way of saying welcome to Casting Actors Cast. Today's episode is called Question Everything. And I mean question everything. And I'm going to explain all about that in just a moment. So it's at this point in the podcast that I usually say, this is that time in the podcast where I talk to you about. And I just want to kind of share a question that I have. Today's episode is called Question Everything. And I've been toying with the idea of taking these podcasts and actually streaming them or me doing the podcast and putting it on YouTube. There's kind of a lot involved and I'm excited because I love the idea of that. But I'm just wondering if you wouldn't mind thinking about that for a moment, if you're a regular listener or even if you're a new listener. Do you think it might be useful? Would it be helpful to you if there were a podcast channel of, you know, me talking about the very same subjects we've been talking about? I'm happy to do it. I just wondered if there's an outreach or there's an idea that would be better served by doing it on video rather than just me talking behind the microphone. Or I guess the other thing I could do is I'm thinking that maybe I could just shoot a video of me doing the podcast. Does that have any value? Would you please let me know? by either sending me an email at castingactorscast@gmail.com or castingactorscast.com and fill out a comment form. I would love to hear that. And as I grow, and certainly the audience has been growing, and I'm thrilled to have over 10,000 listeners now. And I think that that's more than exciting. But I'm just kind of wanting to continue to evolve and help as many people as I can. And if that would be of any help to you or to maybe some of your friends, thank you. Today's podcast is Question Everything. You know, I love the acronym of FEAR, F-E-A-R. The acronym really is False Evidence Appearing Real. And I think that that's a really great statement for today's podcast, because we question everything. Sometimes we question everything, and when we hear the answer, we're not satisfied, which only prompts us to ask another question. And I know actors are doing this all the time. And based on the past couple of weeks that I've had with not only classes, but with actors and in auditions, I did a day and a half of EPAs this week, equity principal auditions this week, where I saw many of the same actors that I've seen many, many times over, because in our office at McCorkle Casting, everyone contributes to all the projects usually. And the EPAs are sort of my jurisdiction. So I'm kind of the gatekeeper, and I love doing the EPAs, as I've said in many podcasts before. But that's prompted a lot of questions, both from me, but also from the actors that I've been seeing, not only at the EPAs, like I said, but also in some of the classes. And I thought I would use this particular podcast today to talk about some of those questions. But keep in mind the acronym FEAR, False Evidence Appearing Real. So here's the first question for the podcast, is one that I actually asked just a few moments ago about whether I should turn this podcast into a YouTube video. The reason I'm asking that question is not because I'm fearful, although I guess I have a little bit of fear of failure. I'm wondering if I do a YouTube video, am I just setting myself up for kind of the scrutiny that I'm not interested in hearing? Because, you know, we're all sensitive folks, and I only want to get this message out. I don't have sponsors. I'm not actively seeking sponsors, but eventually, if this grows, it would be really great to see how it evolves. But that's a question that I would love to have some answers to, and I guess there is a little bit of fear in that. But here are a couple of questions that I've gotten this week, and I really want to be frank with you in terms of the answers. And one question that I've gotten, what do us casting directors really say when you leave the room? So let's just set up the scenario where you've been auditioning, you've come into audition, you've done an audition, and then you leave, and you'll never know what the conversation is. What is that conversation that takes place? Well, obviously, it's a conversation about whether or not you're right for the role. You might be surprised to find out that we oftentimes will get the question of, are you a good team player? Are you somebody who works and plays well with others? In other words, what's your reputation? Do you get along with other castmates? Have there been any issues in the past? And it's important for casting directors to have that information. If we know something about you or your personality or something that's maybe a little off-putting, you know, we need to be upfront about that, because you know what? That'll come back to us. If you get cast in a show that we've brought you in for, and you've auditioned and you've gotten cast, and then something goes awry, and we get a call from that director or for that artistic director or from that producer saying, did you know that this person had a kind of a personality problem? We don't really want that to happen. We have to fully vet the talent that we bring in. But what do we really say when you leave the room? Those are the two biggest questions. I tell you, quite honestly, the biggest thing that is said after you leave the room is nothing. Believe me, I'm serious. Nothing is said. Usually, we're making notes. We write down our schedule, the audition schedule that we have in front of us. We'll take a few notes about whether or not this was fitting the bill, that your audition was appropriate to the kind of thing that we're looking for, and then we just move on. So many times, not a word, you might be surprised, not a word is spoken until the end of that day, when everybody in the creative team who's involved in the casting of the project will get together and go over the day's auditions and go over those notes that each of those folks in the casting process, the producer, the director, the casting director, and we'll compare notes. And so sometimes there's not like a word that is spoken. Believe me, it's just, I know it sounds kind of weird, but not every actor who comes in an audition gets a full 3 or 4 minute discussion. It doesn't happen that way. Sometimes the actor comes in and just nails it, in which case a producer or the director would say, that was exactly right. That was really good. That's what I was looking for. That's great. And then a few more questions might happen as a result, but that's basically it. So when you leave the room, really, honestly, there's a little fear. There's a little false evidence appearing real. You think we're talking about you in negative terms, or you think we're talking about the minutiae of what you auditioned with? And the answer is that is not the case. Usually nothing is said, or usually there's just a few sidebar types of comments that this is along the lines of what's being looked for, or this wasn't really right. And that has nothing to do with you or your talent. It has everything to do with the vision of the project that the producer and or the director is looking for. Here's another question. Actors have asked me this week. What do I do if I have a bad audition? Let's just say it's going really badly. The audition, whether it's a film or television project or whether it's a theater project, it just didn't go well at all. Either you just weren't focused, you weren't concentrating, you didn't get enough sleep, you just were distracted, something happened in the room that was off-putting, something took place that made you just feel terrible about your own work. And guess what? That happens. But what can you do, if anything, to rectify it? So this is another example where false evidence appearing real. Are you really, really sure that something happened that warrants you taking some kind of action to rectify the situation? Now, if you're really sure that an apology is really necessary for you to say to that producer, director, or casting director, I just want to let you know I had like a really distracted, difficult time of it. I hope you don't hold that against me, and I really appreciate the opportunity that you let me come in any case, and I apologize if I didn't sort of seem as connected as I know I can be. Wow, that's a tough one, right? Does that really help you? That's the question. Because if you have an expectation that an apology might get you another audition, I think that that's a mistake. I think that an audition is simply a moment in time. And I think that there is this part of us that say, just give me a do-over and I know I could do better. And that's not going to necessarily happen. And now you've made a statement or a point about you having a bad audition. So I'm not sure that it's a good idea to try and take some kind of action to rectify a bad moment in time. Now, I know that there are exceptions to this, but I'd love to hear your feedback about that. What would you do if it just went so horribly wrong? Would you feel compelled to have to do something? Or could you, would you, just leave it alone? Move on, hope that the next audition goes better. If you're represented by an agent, maybe this is something you can share with your agent. Maybe this is something you can share with a fellow actor to sort of get some feedback on. But really go and tread very, very carefully about whether you want to extend yourself further should an audition go bad. Here's another one of those question everything questions that I got. And I had a personal experience this week. And the question first, and then I'll explain what happened. Should you audition for the same casting director in an EPA, even though that casting director may have seen you quite a few times in the past? Does that make sense? If you don't know what an EPA is, I'm happy to explain it to you. Equity principal auditions. So many regional theaters use New York actors. So they'll come to New York, and equity requires that the theater have an equity principal audition to give those actors, equity members, opportunities to perform for that particular project or for that particular theater. So it is a requirement that the theater have these equity principal auditions for anybody in equity who wants to audition for that theater. And so oftentimes it's 1 or 2 days of auditions. And if there's a hired casting director, like in this case this week, we were hired by the theater and we facilitated the auditions and we saw all of the actors in over a two-day period that signed up and showed up and auditioned. They had 2 minutes. They could do a monologue or a song or a monologue and song, whatever they wanted to do in their two-minute period of time. Here was the situation that happened. There's actually, in these EPAs, there's a monitor that's there and line up the equity members, and they go, you know, maybe 10 or 12 at a time. They come in one at a time and do their two-minute audition. So they have these slots, actors sign up, and the equity monitor sort of facilitates the stage managing of getting the actors in and out of the audition. The next group of people were coming into audition, and the equity monitor says, are you going to be here tomorrow? Meaning, are you going to be here for the second day of auditions? And I said, well, I don't think so. If I am here, I'll only be here for half a day. Why? And the equity monitor said, well, because there's someone who says that they've auditioned for you many times before, and they were just hoping that maybe there would be a new person here instead of you. So I was like, you mean somebody doesn't want to say hello and audition for me because I've seen them too many times? So the idea is, you know, if there's another person from the office who's going to be auditioning, then they would rather take their time and audition for that new person because they've already auditioned for me many, many times. Now, of course, I immediately wanted to know who this was. Who was that? But I knew better. I'm a professional. So I was like, so that's the answer. And it turns out that I did go back the next day for half a day. And then the second half of the day was our assistant in the office named Nathan, who finished off the second half of the day. And it turns out that this actress came in and said something along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing here, well, thank God, I've auditioned for Jeffrey so many times, I just needed to see if there was somebody else who could see my audition. So, you know what? I was kind of really weirded out about it, to be honest with you. At first, I thought, my goodness, you should know that a casting director is pretty much primarily focused on whatever they're hired to do at that time. And if we're doing an entire season of a regional theater, I am not one of those computer-brained people who remembers the last 5,000 actors I've seen over the past 20 EPAs that I've done. And so it just strikes me as kind of odd because I'm very myopic. I'm always focused only on the situation. On the other hand, I can understand the actor thinking, you know what? Jeffrey's never brought me in. Why don't I just see if there's another opportunity to audition for somebody other than him? So it was kind of hard not to personalize it, but on the other hand, I understood it completely. So should you audition for the same casting director at an equity principal audition? I don't have an answer. I don't. You decide. But I can tell you from where I sit, developing a relationship with a casting director can happen in many, many different ways. And even if I see the same actor time after time after time, that may mean that I don't think that you're particularly right for the project that we're working on. Maybe I don't think you're up to the standard or to the level of work that is required for the particular projects that we're working on. Or maybe I just don't think you're right. On the other hand, you're a good performer and you're a talented person, then I see you and continue on a regular basis. Mightn't that be a way to develop a relationship? I don't know. I keep asking the same questions. Oh, that's the name of the episode, isn't it? Question everything. Well, there's an example. The last question that I got from a class this week from a really talented young actor said, how do you find your brand? People are using the word brand all the time now, and it's sort of, to me, it's kind of generic for replacing the word type with the word brand. In other words, brand sort of implies that it's something that you can be in control of. You are your brand. And how do you fit your brand into the marketplace so that you can find opportunities and get work and audition and book jobs? How do you find your brand is really a great question. And I'm only going to answer the question with another question. What do you think are your most sellable qualities based on what's going on in the industry? If you're interested in a film or television career, what are the last three films Or what are the last three television shows that perhaps are shooting either in New York or Los Angeles or wherever you are, if there is some shooting being done of some projects? What are those projects and why would you be a good fit for those projects? It's either because of your acting style, it's because of your presence, it's because of your energy, it's because you have a sense of humor or very mysterious or very you fill in the blank. So it's really not a matter of type. The truth is your uniqueness is what's going to get you the job, not your sameness. So what unique qualities do you have that you think might be of value to those projects that are currently taking place? That's how you find out. And then finally, ask five friends, people that know you, what would be the three adjectives they would use to describe you? Take those three adjectives and really make that the cornerstone of your marketing plan and how you're going to brand yourself in your pictures and resumes, in your correspondence, even down to the font you use when you type your name on your resume. That's how you find your brand. Wow, the time always goes very, very quickly and I get kind of intense about some of these things. I hope it's been helpful to you. Thank you very much for indulging me a little bit today. And if you have any questions, please go to Casting Actors Cast. Thank you so much. Make it a great day for yourself, right? Do something good for yourself. What three things are you doing to help your career today? I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach. This is Casting Actors Cast.
You've been listening to Casting Actors Cast with host Jeffrey Dreisbach. Find out more at castingactorscast.com and let us know if you would like us to cover topics you're interested in. Thanks for listening. I'm Matthew DeSarno.